greet you all this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. Covet your continued prayer as we study the word here this morning. Lauren missed one announcement, and that is that I believe tomorrow Lauren has a birthday, and I believe he will be 37 years old. So, Lord bless you on your birthday. And so, I know those are announcements are difficult to make, but we trust the Lord bless you. Thank you, Marv, for those opening messages and the Sunday school teaching. It all pointed toward, amazing how God puts things together, but he pointed toward what I was thinking this morning. He said, Joshua says, be strong, be obedient, study the law and serve. And I have a note here that false religions pride, he said pride, it brings mass confusion. And that's the introduction to my message this morning. The title of the message this morning is God's Promises to the Humble. And I know as I looked into this, I realized more and more that I wasn't going to be able to fully convey this message, but I trust that the Lord will fill in the gaps, because it's a message that's really dear to God's heart, I found. He's promised to bless those that are humble. And what brought me to this, I was thinking about last time I preached, we talked about repentance, we talked about being baptized, the plan of salvation, receiving the Holy Spirit, and then being converted. And we trust that God sends the Holy Spirit. And the being converted part is on my part. It's something that I need to do. God sends the Spirit to prompt and do the converting, but finally, I have a part to do here. And the part that I want us to think about this morning is that when I become converted, God gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. And I get none. That's the spirit of the humble. You can open your Bibles to. I have a lot of scripture readings here this morning, and thank you, Tim, for that comment about worshiping God and not worshiping self, which points directly to what we're talking about. And if you open your Bibles into Psalms 34, we're going to start Psalms 34, and we'll look at verse 16. And he says here, the psalmist says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth it and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This is what brought me to this thought this morning, or this week as I was meditating here, is the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In verse 16, he says, the Lord is against them that do evil. In verse 17, he says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord delivereth and he keepeth them. He heareth them and he delivereth them. Finally, it's a choice. Either we cry out, or we're involved in evil. And I'm confessing that I don't have this all figured out. So when we're talking about this humbleness this morning, I'm going to admit that I don't have it all figured out. It's One of the things I was looking at yesterday said that finally when we have it figured out and we know that we're humble, pride immediately steps in and humbleness is gone. So that's how elusive this idea is. So I just want us to generate thought as how we're going to deal with this. And I don't have the answers. In 18 he says, the Lord is nigh unto who? Those that are of a broken heart, those that are contrite, those that are feeling in need. They don't have it all figured out. And in verse 19 he says, we all have afflictions, but the Lord delivereth the righteous. So the definition of contrite, he's talking about contrite. The definition of a contrite is to be of a crushed heart, broken to pieces, humbled by our own sins and failures. Contrite is that when we are humbled by our own personal sins and failures. Definition of humble, having a having or showing a modest or low esteem of our own importance. In other words, not thinking too highly of ourselves. And number two, in humility, was of a low social and administrative or political rank. So humbleness brings us into a lower rank. A humble person generally demonstrates self-awareness, recognize their strength and weaknesses, and appreciate the contribution of others. A humble person generally is aware of his situation. He recognizes and he recognizes who he is, and he appreciates the contribution of others into his life. Let's look at an Old Testament example, and we can go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. And I think we'll look at, what I really want to look at is in Daniel 4, this story, this happening to Nebuchadnezzar. We start at verse 29. Therefore, this is when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the firing furnace as the neighbor victorious. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is Nebuchadnezzar, and he's recognizing the power of God. He acknowledges here that this God, whom these Hebrew children served, is the true God. And then look at what happens next. In Nebuchadnezzar, the king said unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. And he says, I thought it good to shew the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. In other words, he's praising and honoring God for all this that he's given him. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. And then he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. And I saw a dream. And then we go on all, so we notice that Nebuchadnezzar, he acknowledges God for who he is. praises him, honors him. And then we see this dream that happened, and Nebuchadnezzar saw this dream, and we go from verse 4 to verse 26. Is about his dream, and we're not going to go into that because I just want to get the thoughts. And King has a dream, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and Daniel interprets the dream, and he advises the king. And he says in verse 27, this is his advice: "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." So he's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, extend grace and extend love to the people. And we're not going to look at all that, but he says there in verse 27, "Shew mercy unto the poor, that your days may be lengthened out." In verse 29, "And at the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" So he's here, he's exalted himself in pride. This is a kingdom that was given unto him, that the people built for him, that God built for him, in a sense. And he says, just look at this wonderful kingdom that I have built by my might, by my power, by my honor. And my question this morning is, how close is that to my heart? You know, he's just acknowledged that God delivered the Hebrew children out of the fire. Now he's saying, look at this great kingdom that I have. What about my house? What about my wonderful family? What about my business? What about my ministry? What about, you put there whatever you have that you're dealing with. And I trust we all have something in our life that maybe fits this thing that we're talking about, this pride issue. And then we go to verse 31. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an ox, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. And I trust it's just as hard for us to learn this lesson as it is for Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe not for you, but it is for me. This is a lesson we need to learn. That the Most High ruleth in the hearts, and he giveth to whom he will, it says in verse 32. And in verse 33, it says he was driven from men. And I'm going to tell you, brethren and sisters, when pride and arrogance wells up in our world, the same thing will happen to us. It'll drive us. It'll separate us from the common of mankind. Pride is a separator. It puts us on in our own department. We're on our own because we can't relate to anyone else. And this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Because of his pride, he was driven into the wilderness. And then let's look at verse 34. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is an from generation to generation. And I see here, God's promises are to the humble, to those that bless the Most High. Nebuchadnezzar says, I was lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. I blessed the Most High. I praised and I honored him. And he says here, look at God's kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that this is God's kingdom. Look at God's kingdom. Pride is an assault to God. It is a motive of my part to steal what rightfully belongs to God. It's theft. God deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise. And pride welling up within us is an assault to him. It's an attempt to steal from God. Verse 37, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He's saying here finally that God will take care of the pride. Because it's a direct affront to him. It's robbery in the sight of God. And if we look on in chapter 5, the story of Belteshazzar, and we're not going to go into that, but finally, Belteshazzar did not grasp this idea that pride was an assault to God, and he was not humble, and it cost him his life. His kingdom was taken. He was slain. And somehow God wants us to learn this competition, if we can call it that. I believe it's a competition. It's a competition for the praise that rightfully belongs to God when I step in and I take it for myself. I'm directly competing to God for the praise, the honor. I had an experience recently. We're going to go into seven promises to the humble. And there's quite a little different scriptures here, but this experience I had just recently. And I think it's good if we recognize that we fail from time to time. We were at food distribution, and I was in charge of passing out watermelons. Right? So I know that after a while, they're going to say, okay, the volunteers get their watermelon. So there was one watermelon in the box that was just quite a bit larger than all the rest. So I decided, well, you know what, we'll just leave that one until a little later. You know, when I got that watermelon home and I cut it open, it was rotten inside. We all fail. We all have this pride issue that's welling up within us, and it's ever before us. But God is saying that there is a blessing, a promise to the humble. Humility is when I looked at the scripture, I found that humility to God is a big deal. It is. It's a big deal in his eyes. And go to And I have 7 points relating to this little section here. The first is saved by affliction. Psalms 18. Psalms 18:27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. He's saying, God is going to deal with the very appearance of pride. He's concerned. He's going to bring down, verse 27 says, he's going to, but will bring down high looks. He's going to bring down the very appearance of pride. And second is, he guides and teaches. Humility guides and teaches. If we go to Psalms 25. Starting at verse 8, Psalm 25, 8. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his commandments and his testimonies. In verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So he's saying here, the Lord's going to teach us somehow. He's going to teach us to be humble, fear, reverence, and respect. And I believe one of the things is that if we're going to be taught, we need to read, and we need to be willing, open to, and available to be shown. God will show us if we're willing and open to be shown. But if pride is in our heart while we're seeking and studying the scripture, we're going to miss humility. And it's become so aware to me in my life that humility is very easily missed. We miss it real quickly. We're going to come back to a few other verses in Psalms, but God promises grace to the humble. And if we look at James, James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Again, he's showing us here, there's a direct opposition, but he giveth grace unto, therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Doesn't seem like the two mix very well. Well, they don't mix. So if we go on to 1 Peter 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth, again the same words, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He's saying it's a choice. It's not going to just happen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's saying pride is ever lurking. He's ever lurking all around us to seek attention. Pride is seeking for attention rather than the attention that really belonged to God. It's look at Proverbs. We're looking about the grace, the promise of grace to the humble. Proverbs 5:34. And he says here in Proverbs 3:34, he says, surely he scorneth a scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. He's promising to give grace to those that are of a low esteem. And he also promised to the humble wisdom. If we go to Proverbs 11, Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. He's saying here that pride cometh, with pride cometh shame, and with lowliness cometh wisdom. Teachableness, that's what he's talking about here. Teachableness. Honor cometh. So if we go to Proverbs 15, another blessing, another promise to the humble is that he would receive honor. If we go to Proverbs 15:32, he that refuses, instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Notice that last phrase in verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor happens, there's humility. The proud get it all backward. They're looking for honor without humility. And the Bible's saying here plainly, before honor comes humility. If we go to Matthew, the sixth part is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He promised that we would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If we go to Matthew chapter 18. And we'll look at 18 verse 3. Matthew 18 verse 3. This is the words of Jesus. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. What I'm seeing here is that Jesus is asking us to become humble, teachable like children. Teachable, that's what he's wanting us to be. We're going to be great in heaven if we're going to be teachable. God can teach us to be humble. And then number 7 is, he will lift you up. And it said there in James 10. I thought I had that memorized, but I've missed it. James 4:10. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And to me, that's just such an amazing thought. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he is going to lift you up. Let's just page over here to Luke. Luke 1:50. And since this is our Luke 1:50. This is to Mary. It says in Luke 1:50, in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And we look down to 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He scattered the proud. And in verse 50, she's saying here, the mercy on them that feareth the Lord from generation to generation. In other words, this humbleness is something that we can teach our children. And in verse 51, he says, he scattereth the proud, the imagination of their heart. This was Mary, the mother of Jesus, speaking. And she did not consider herself great. She considered herself as a servant. However, the Catholic Church in the meantime has set her up as a god to receive worship, to receive praise for what she did here. But Mary said, it's by God's mercies. Humbleness, and He scattereth the proud in the imagination of their own heart. Let's look at it happening here in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. And He spake this parable unto certain that which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is Jesus speaking. Two men went down into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood praying thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote him upon the breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me as a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In verse 9, obviously says that some that trusted in themselves that they were righteous, proud. And in verse 11 and 12, the Pharisee, obviously, take notice how many eyes are in there. I thank thee that I am not like them. He's also saying that I don't have any problems. And in verse 13, he says, the publican, standing afar off, would not as much as lift up his, his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on the breast. God, be merciful unto me as a sinner. So we see here that the humble man went to his house justified in peace, and he that wanted to be exalted needed to be humbled. One of the things that, and I mentioned it earlier, is that finally this story adamantly displays the idea that when we get the idea that we have attained in this unto this humbleness, that it very quickly slips away. Before we know it, it's gone, and I'm proud that I'm humble. Let's look at Philippians, a couple words here in Philippians. We'll start at Philippians 2. Let's just start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort and love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. We're in one accord, in one mind. I just don't believe there's any place that we can... You ever heard this phrase, a better Christian? Well, I think maybe he's a better Christian, or maybe he was a better Christian than that. In humility and pride, there's no middle road. We're either humble or we're not. Then he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a serpent, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, being God, found himself in the form of a man, tempted with pride. And he became obedient even to the death on the cross to prove his humility, to prove that he was God. And we need to come to that same place. We need to become humble, obedient, and even unto death. So that in verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him above and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. I believe if our intent is to become humble enough so that we could be exalted. If we are intending to become humble enough in action to become exalted, that's what God's saying here. He's going to exalt those that are humble. If our intent is to become humble enough to be exalted, we done missed it. We cannot put enough effort into humility to become humble. It's a hard issue. Let's turn over to Timothy. Second Timothy 3:1-5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and I don't think we have to convince anybody. We believe this is true. In the last times, the days we live in, perilous times are here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What I marvel here is that early in this list of things that we believe are evil, he mentions pride. And for myself, I want to, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And for myself, I want to in the future look at pride. That's sin. That's what he's listing here. He's listing sin. Are we ready to, that's my question this morning, are we ready to call sin, sin? Are we ready to call pride sin? Or is it just a little issue that I have? Lovers of them own selves, he says in verse 2. The definition of pride is an excessive love of self. When I looked up the definition of pride, there wasn't a lot of definition. It just simply said an excessive love of self. Let's go to one more verse. Psalms 51. This is David's psalm. And I think it's the answer. I think it's the answer to what we're looking for. Psalms 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. You know, God's not looking for performance. He's not looking for sacrificing. He's not looking for us to do he's looking for obedience, but he's not looking for us to do obedience as a performance. He wants it from our heart. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That's what God's looking for. Somebody is willing to be shown. Somebody is willing to be instructed. The sacrifices of God, verse 17, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I'm going to challenge us. If we're having trouble connecting or relating to God, do you ever get that way? You feel like, I'm not sure that I'm connecting with God at all. I do. And I'm telling you, the next time when you're thinking about this issue of not feeling connected to God, take a check at your relationship between pride and humility. Because it says here plainly, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. That he means that when we're proud, we can't come into relationship with him. Somehow we need to get to the point where all of life is not about me, but it's about God. I know it's a lot easier to say than it is to do. Two spirits. Proud, self-centered, unteachable. And they already know it all. The other spirit, humble, contrite, teachable, God-focused, willing to be shown. But I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, we can't be in both. The one spirit, two spirits, one spirit, proud, self-centered, unteachable. They already know it all. The other spirit, humble, contrite, broken, teachable, God-focused. One more time. Pride is an attempt to steal what rightfully belongs to God. If I have pride in my heart, I'm rightfully trying to steal what rightfully belongs to God. Let's kneel for prayer.